I want to look at the third verse as a text. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. In the verses before this, Jacob had offered sacrifices to the Lord. And God, in the second verse, called him Jacob. That was the name of his weakness. But he also called him Israel, which was the name of his spiritual nature. Here in this verse, we find God meeting Jacob in all his fears and his weakness, and encouraging him with the good news that God will bless him, that he's going to Egypt with him. He'll take him down there, and he'll bring him back again. There's a reminder here of God's promises to expand his family and use them for his glory. We talked about last week, and I just mentioned this, Jacob is about to begin a new step in his life. And whenever we do new things in our life, in fact, whenever we do anything in our life, it's always wise to seek God's presence and God's blessing. It's always best to begin with God before we go anywhere. I want to try to bring you a message tonight, if God will help me, that I have entitled, God Encourages Jacob. Now, three or four things I want us to see in this text. First of all, we need to go back and remember again that there were some reasons why Jacob had offered sacrifice to God. It tells us in the first verse that he came down to Beersheba and he offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. One of the reasons was that Jacob knew that his family was sinful, and they needed to be purged of their sin. Part of it was his fault. His children had four mothers, and they had a steady record of sinful conduct from the time they'd been little children up until this very day. They'd been ungodly and wicked men. They'd done so many evil deeds. And we're just like them. We might have a sense of backsliding in our hearts. There are careless omissions and transgressions that we don't really see to be transgression. I remember talking to a fellow a year or two ago. We got talking about sin. And this fellow said, well, I understand what you're saying, but I'm sure I probably have sinned at some time. I just can't remember when it was. And I said to him, if you'll think a little while, it'll come back to you. But Jacob knew they needed cleansing. I was thinking about a while ago, I sat back there in the study, I think about some other men in the Bible who offered sacrifices for their families. Think about Moses. And remember old Eli the priest. He had two wicked, wicked sons. And he prayed for them constantly. I guess maybe more than anybody else, I think about Job. Job's children get together and have a party. And old Job would pray, oh God, if they've done anything wrong, if they've sinned in any way, forgive them. We seem to have lost that in our day and time. Parents used to pray for their children. Now, most parents I know of are so convinced of how good their children are, they probably don't feel like they need to. But he also offered these sacrifices as a response of thanksgiving. Remember a couple of chapters ago, he sent his sons down into Egypt to buy some corn, and he said to them, because they had to take Benjamin because the man in Egypt had already told them, if you don't bring your younger brother, I'm not going to sell you any corn. And he sent them off down there, and he did so heavily because he just knew that Benjamin wasn't coming back. Maybe the rest of them weren't coming back either, but he wasn't so worried about them, but Benjamin's not coming back. He was so worried about that. Little did he know that Benjamin was about to see his brother down in Egypt. You know, when God comes to us in our darkness, and He shines the light of grace into our hearts, we ought to be so thankful. It bothers me. I'll be honest with you. It bothers me that I'm not as thankful as I ought to be. And it bothers me a great deal that there are so many people in the world I live in that just don't seem to be thankful at all. If they say anything about God at all, they're always complaining or wanting something else. They never take time to be thankful. Jacob also offered this sacrifice not only for the cleansing of his family and as a thing of thanksgiving, but he also offered this sacrifice as an inquiry into God's will. He greatly questioned the wisdom of going down to Egypt. He knew Joseph was there. He knew Joseph wanted to see him. He wanted to see Joseph, but he just wasn't comfortable with going down to Egypt. You know, people, oftentimes, they go to God and they seek direction and they seek guidance. Unfortunately, most of them just go down there and see if they can get God to agree with what they want to do anyway. This man, Jacob, wanted to know, Lord, do you want me to go? One of the reasons I think it's important that Christians worship God, one of the reasons I'm so sold on the value of public worship, is that it is in worship that God most often guides our steps and teaches us to walk in the path of His glory. I've sat where you sat many times and heard some man preach the gospel, preach the message of God, and God would speak to me, and I didn't hear anything else he said. God was telling me what he wanted me to do. Jacob understood the necessity of seeking God, of searching out God's face when he started any new activity. He had a fear that was entirely natural. He'd fallen plenty of times. He'd stumbled often. But it was unnecessary because God doesn't make mistakes. And he needed his fear to be removed. And so God says to him, fear not. Don't be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And Jacob would continue on from this point. He went down to Egypt without fear. He left everything he knew in Canaan without fear. He took his family, all his family with him, without fear. He had God's encouragement and God's comfort in his heart, and he could go forwards with that. He didn't need anything else. There's another thing we find in this verse. His fear was a natural experience. Jacob was an old man. He'd been in Canaan all his life. He did not want to leave his homeland. I found out that old people, I started to say elderly, but we don't want to be elderly, that old people do not like changes of country, and they don't like changes of custom. Ecclesiastes 12:5 says, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. He dreaded the prospect of living among these barbaric Egyptians. I was reading this the other day, and I got to thinking about a couple The first time I went to Israel, there was a man and woman from down South Georgia in our group, and they'd never been on a trip like that before. I don't know if they'd ever been outside of Georgia before. And the old man was pretty calm and contented, but his wife sure wasn't. She was always torn up about something. And I finally sat down and talked to her one day, and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "you seem to be disturbed and upset about everything, and I wonder if maybe I can be a help to you. Maybe I can help you understand why you're upset." And she said, "Well, I'm just upset because the food's different than what I eat in Georgia, and the people are different than what I eat in Georgia, and they talk different than they do in Georgia, and I'm just not used to it." And I said, "Did you know where you were coming when you came on this trip?" And she said, "Yeah, but I didn't think it'd be like this." I said, "Let me give you a piece of advice. Why don't you just experience it? Stop complaining. Stop grumbling. Try the food. If you don't like it, don't eat it. But try it. And just understand that people are different and you're in a different place. And when you go back home to Georgia, you'll go home better than you were when you left." I don't know if it helped or not. It seemed like it did a little bit, but she still seemed upset. Jacob wasn't sure he wanted to move. He knew that Egypt was an idolatrous country, but he didn't know very much else about this foreign land. And sure, he had heard that it was a land where they worshipped snakes, cats, stars, even vegetables. I really don't understand anybody worshiping a carrot, but maybe they did. He had dealt with the Canaanites. He knew what they were like, and he wondered what influence the Egyptians would have on his family. You ought to be concerned. If you go somewhere different, you ought to be concerned how it's going to impact your family. He wanted to see Joseph. He hadn't seen him for over 20 years. He wanted to see Joseph. But he was afraid of this land where Abraham was deceived repeatedly and Abraham stumbled into all kinds of sin. It was also a land where his father Isaac had wanted to go and God stopped him. So he wanted to be for sure that God wanted him to go there. He feared that Egypt would be a land of great trials for himself and for his children. God had already warned Abraham. He warned Abraham that his children would be in bondage for more than 400 years. Genesis 15:13, he said unto Abram, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. He was disturbed and fearful of problems, relationship problems with the Egyptians. He was concerned that Egypt would involve himself and his family in temptation that were new to them and challenging. His boys had already fallen into enough traps. They'd gotten into enough trouble right in their own homeland. I'm sure he thought to himself, they might be older now, but they're still as foolish as they ever were. I wonder if they'll learn anything. His children had acted with evil hearts among the Canaanites. They'd done all kinds of evil. And Jacob was fully aware of not only the weakness of his children, but the weakness of his own heart. You know, when God sends a man or a woman into an unknown situation, we need to never forget something. If God sends you somewhere you've never been before, and you don't know whether to go or not, remember this. That if it's God's will for you to go there, that He will send you with an assurance of his presence and his strength. I love what he told Jacob. I am the God of thy father. Fear not to go down to Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. What an assurance. Jacob was always an anxious man. He was nervous as a proverbial long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. And as he got older, he got worse. He used to be a brave little hero back years ago when he just cheated his brother and deceived his daddy. He did all kinds of stuff. But as he got older, he learned some things. And he learned about God. It made him nervous. And I don't know about you, but I need a comforter. And Jacob needed a comforter. And God said, I'll be with you. Now, God's sure intent here was to remove Jacob's fears. He said, fear not. Don't be afraid. God appeared to this old man, 130 years old, at this place called Beersheba in the middle of the desert. He came down from the glory of heaven and appeared to this place, to this one man, to simply say to him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God drives our fears away. For one reason, because fears make us unhappy. Your fears will make you miserable. I don't know what you're afraid of. Maybe nothing. If you're afraid of nothing because God's promised you to don't be afraid, then you're in good shape. It's a sad thing for any person to see their children unhappy and fearful. They're unhappy and they're fearful because they don't know God. They're not trusting God. They're not resting in God. God finds it an evil thing when his people don't trust him, when they don't delight in him. God would have his people to trust him. He would have his people to just delight in his presence. He would have his people to be unfearful, because our fears make us weak. Now, Jacob had, in latter years especially, had struggled to live for God in the land of Canaan. When he left his father-in-law, and he went to the place where God showed him, and he settled, and he had walked with God and lived for God all those years. But in Egypt, his struggles would be greater. He's going to be in a foreign land, under the authority of his own son, but above his son was a Pharaoh. And Pharaohs changed their mind. And only God would give him the strength. And the initiative to deal with his struggles. When God gives light, the only thing that will hinder our prospects are our fears and unbelief. Your unbelief is a great chock to the wheels of God's progress. But if God is with us, and he is with us, but if we know he is with us, then we need not fear. It is never God's intent for us to fear man. I say this honestly. I believe I'm honest in this. I don't think I'm afraid of any man. There are a lot of men who could do me harm. They could cause me all kinds of problems. But God's brought me to the place in my life where I trust Him so much, I'm just not afraid of Him anymore. If we trust God, we should never fear humanity, because humanity is under His control. I was sitting in a restaurant this morning, and I was listening to two fellas. We laugh at them because they're so adamant. One of them's a Republican, the other one's a Democrat. And they just go at it all the time, you know. And the Republican, he was telling the Democrat how he was afraid to have President Obama be president again. And the Democrat was telling the Republican how he was afraid to have Romney be the president again. And I was sitting there laughing at him, and I said, why don't you guys learn to trust God? Then you won't have to worry about who's president. Doesn't make any difference. There's a fourth thing here, and it's how sweetly God takes away Jacob's fear. He said, I'm God. That's it. I'm the God of your fathers. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You see, fear has to depart when God forbids them. When God sends them away, you can't send them away. And I started to say you can't gather them, but you don't need to because they'll come anyway. But you can't send them away. But when God sends them away, He gives you peace. The Lord removed Jacob's fears by showing him that He knew him not only as His creation, but He knew him by name. He called him Israel, and He called him Jacob. You know, God knows every one of you by name. He knows what you need. He knows what you need better than you know what you need. He knows your burdens better than you know them. He knows burdens that you have and you don't know it yet. And you haven't found out yet. But when you find out, He'll still be God. There's an old man that I know, 80-something years old, in his 80s. And I saw him this morning and I said, have you got you fixed up yet? He said, not yet. He said, I think they're waiting to get all my money before they do anything. He's got cancer, and he's supposed to start taking radiation treatments. And they've been fooling with him for 5 or 6 weeks. I said, well, they'll get your money once eventually if you keep going to them. He said, I know it, but he said, it's not much I can do about it. God knew Jacob. He knew him as sinful Jacob, and He knew him as the chosen man Israel. God knows everything about your heart, and He still loves you. I was working on a message today for this conference. And the more I worked on the message, the more I thought, how in the world does God love us? We're such rotten creatures by nature. Such rotten creatures by attitude and by practice. How does God love us? And yet He does. He does. He reminded Jacob of the communion that they had with one another. He said, you're Jacob, I'm God. Don't be afraid. You know, when God came looking for Adam, He said, Adam, where are you? Adam said, I'm over here in the bush. But unlike Adam, when God came, Jacob said, here I am. Tell me what you want me to do. Let me know what your will is for me. I tell you, it's a great and a glorious thing in your life if God brings you to the place where you are so anxious to do what He wants you to do that you just say to Him, tell me. Just tell me. I used to struggle so much with knowing what God's will was. And as time has gone by, God's taught me more about that, and now he just shows me what he wants me to do. When your heart is at peace with God, there's really no reason to fear anybody or anything, because God's always in control. He's always in control. You may not like what happens. You may not like what his will is at any moment, but he's still in control. And God then removed Jacob's fears by reminding him that Jehovah was the God of the covenant of grace. He said, I'm the God of your fathers. He was the same God that Abraham worshipped. The same God that promised Abraham when he was 100 years old, you're going to have a baby next year. He was the same God who spoke to Isaac and retrieved a wife for him. And now he's the same God for Jacob. If God is your God, if God is my God, then the chief thing's accomplished. The chief thing's accomplished. He is the God of the present as well as the God of the past. I hear people talk about God, and the majority of people I hear talk about God, they talk about the God of the past and the God of the future. If that's all you've got, you don't have much, because you need God right now. God's done great things for me in my life in the past, and I'm thankful for those things, and I rejoice in them. He's promised me he's going to do great things for me in the future, and I rejoice in them. But best of all, God's promised that he'll be with me right now. He reminded Jacob that he intended to make a great nation out of him. If God's over a nation, then nothing will make them afraid. Whether they're right or wrong is indifferent. The Jews have for 8,000 years survived and prospered against unimaginable odds because they believed that God was their God. We should not be afraid of fear. We should not be afraid of pain, of circumstances, or even of death, if God's our God. The Lord promised Jacob that he'd go down with him to Egypt. You know, that's a song the redeemed can always sing. He'll go with me through the valley. He'll go with me over the mountains. He'll go with me through the desert. He'll go with me. But God also promised Jacob not only would he take him down to Egypt, but he'd bring him back to Canaan. See, Canaan was his inheritance. Canaan was the promised land. And he said to him, I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. Jacob's family is not to be banished to this strange land forever. When I was a kid, my mother always wanted to move. We moved. We lived anywhere more than a year. It was almost a miracle. And she'd always wanted to move. And I don't. When I got older, you know, when I was 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, I always wondered, wherever we're moving, what's it going to be like? You know, she didn't seem to be worried, but I was. And, you know, life can strike us a lot of blows. But God promised Jacob, wherever you go, I'll be with you. And he'll lift us up again in his time and his purpose. One other thing I think is important here is God also removed Jacob's fear of dying. Look at the end of verse 4. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Most people die with their eyes open. Most people I've been with, when they died, they had their eyes open. And somebody will reach over and take their hand, pull their eyelid shut, and they stay shut. God told Jacob, you're going to die in Egypt. And Joseph's going to be there, and he'll put his hands on your eyes. You see, death is a covenant blessing of all God's children. When we think about the covenant and about its blessings, people think about eternal life. They think about this, that, and the other, and they think about this experience and that experience, this promise, that promise. But very few people ever stop to think about that death is a covenant promise. I don't know when I'm going to die. God hadn't told me, and I'm glad he didn't. If he's told you, don't tell me. I don't want to know. But I do know this, that whether it's next week, next year, next decade, 50 years from now, that it'll be one of God's covenant blessings to me. The Prince of all time, the Prince of Peace, will close your eyes and welcome you home. That isn't bad, is it? I think I could like that. And we'd be blessed by it. By now, you would think that all of Jacob's fears had been removed. But they've also been removed from us. I pray that we can learn these blessed lessons of consolation and comfort. Our hearts ought to be at rest. Jehovah's leading the way. So don't be afraid. A songwriter once wrote these words. What cheering words are these? Their sweetness, who can tell? In time and to eternal days, 'tis with the righteous well. 'Tis well when joys arise, 'tis well when sorrows flow. 'Tis well when darkness veils the skies and strong temptations blow. 'Tis well when on the mount we feast on dying love. And 'tis as well in God's account when we the furnace prove. That's why those three Hebrew children could tell old Nebuchadnezzar, fire your furnace up. God wants to keep us out of it, he will. But if he doesn't, we still won't bow down to you. Every journey, in life or in death, is a safe trip if you're in God's hands. I've seen children of grace suffer unimaginably with some illness and seen their children who don't know God just so torn up by their experience and thought to myself, if you only knew what they know. If you only knew what they know. Every one of us has to deal with the issue of death. Every one of us. We might all die before Sunday. But God will give us earthly consolation and heavenly joy in our passing. Fear not to go down to your Egypt, for the grace of God's there. You know, death is such a great opportunity to confess Christ to everybody that's around us. I think back on it a lot. It's what old people do. I think back when my wife was sick. And Eddie was always a quiet person, and she witnessed to a lot of people very quietly. But when I look back on it, I think her death was the greatest confession of her faith I've ever seen. Sometimes I get frustrated and fearful during that experience. She kept bringing me around. And God finally made me see what she'd seen for a long time, that it was His time for her. This kind of consolation, if God comes to you and He comes to me and He says, don't be afraid. If that gives you peace, it'll cause you to think about those that don't have faith. Where are they going to get any peace? What misery awaits those who have no true God to go to in their fears? I watch religious people. They're silly. They're always trusting some man, some woman, some earthly system. Our hope is in this. I'm God. Don't be afraid. I'm God. I pray that God may bring each and every one of us to His Son in every moment of fear, every moment of uncertainty, every moment of indecision. And when He brings us there, that He'll give us the same peace in our blessed Savior and our blessed surety as He gave to Jacob on this date when He said, I'm God. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. That's good news. Oh, that God would encourage our hearts. Enable us to turn aside all the discouragements and the fearfulness of this world. And simply trust in God. Amen.